you, Scotty. My only complaint about the song service is we only sang one verse of Paradise Valley. I'm not sure, but I think that's sinful. It is good to have you here this morning, and as we have already indicated, there is going to be a break this morning in our series on faith as we consider some very vital and important issues to this church family, and that is the appointment of additional shepherds to lead us in our pilgrimage to heaven. And so if you have your copy of the Word of God, I would ask you to open it to 1 Timothy 3. And we're going to read together a passage from 1 Timothy 3 and then turn over a few pages and read from Titus 1. We're going to read these passages together and then consider the kind of man God would have as his shepherd. Bible says in 1 Timothy 3, beginning at verse 1, "Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to much wine, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. For if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap." Now if you turn over a few pages to Titus chapter 1. We'll read together beginning at verse 5. Paul writing to Titus. "The reason I left you in Crete," verse 5 of chapter 1, "was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, the husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to much wine, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain, but rather he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it." One week from today, all of us who are members of the family of God here at Quail Springs, young and old, the oldest among us to the teenager who has given his life to Christ, all of us, husband and wife, single adult, all of us, is going to have not only the privilege but the responsibility of nominating those from among our fellowship you believe God is raising up to serve as shepherds, elders of this congregation. I don't know, maybe you might consider a time in your life when things have been rather tough spiritually. Maybe even you don't have to imagine what that would be like because you're in one of those times this morning yourself. If you can imagine a time in your life when things were tough for you spiritually, maybe going through a time of spiritual dryness, going through a time of upheaval when you're questioning your faith and you have all kinds of questions concerning your own spiritual well-being and welfare. Maybe you're in one of those times this morning, but if you're not, if you can imagine what that would be like, the question comes, to whom in this family would you go with those spiritual concerns? Put a name and a face, or some names and faces, to the ones you might approach in this family that would help you through your time of spiritual dryness. Next question. Is he an elder in this place? And if the answer to that is no, the next question, should he be? I want us to look this morning in light of what God says about this man, and then examine your question, should he be a shepherd in this place? And I know when it comes to appointing shepherds in any church family, people have got different ideas about what kind of man we ought to find. We need someone, obviously, who is decisive. There are a lot of decisions in a family this size for the spiritual well-being of a church family. And so we need to appoint a man who can be decisive, who can make a decision and stay with it and see it through. And that would, of course, be a good quality to have. Some might say we need an administrator, someone who's able to administrate a lot of details to the church family and administrate that sort of deal. Administrator is not a bad word, and in fact, is one of the gifts of the Spirit, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 12. It's a good word. And some of those who are appointed shepherds might have administrative gifts, but do we want to find administrators? Another might suggest we want to find somebody who's got life wired, who's successful in his business and in his family life and in his personal life. And if we can find someone who's successful, they can lead us to greater spiritual heights, etc. Well, depending on what your opinion might be, we really need to go to the Word of God and see what God says. Folks, it is true that a church may not attain to the level of its spiritual leaders, but I can promise you it is also true that a church will never surpass the spiritual level of its leadership. It is of vital importance that we understand we're looking for spiritual men, godly men, to lead us. And whatever else is important about their life, the one thing God wants is a man whose heart is sold out to Him. We're looking for godly men. And we're going to turn to the list. I have done something to help make it easier for you. On the back of your announcement sheet, you're going to find these two passages, along with all of the qualities God lists, side by side with a brief comment in the right column. The words that are used in these two lists are taken out of the New American Standard Bible. It's to give you just a little bit of different idea, the way some translators translated the original language. It'll help give you a broader perspective of the qualities that God lists in His Word. I want you to notice that as you look at this list, you need to understand that this is not to be viewed, again, I want to say it, as a checklist. The pilot gets in his airplane, he taxis out to the runway, and he has got a checklist that he goes through, and if anything on the checklist is awry, then he will not take off until he has made sure that everything is right. This is not to be viewed as a checklist. You're to understand that Paul is giving a broad sketch of the character of the kind of man that we are looking for to serve as a shepherd in this family. You say, how do you know that's not a checklist? I know for a couple of things. I know it's not a checklist because, A, the list is different. If you'll notice in the left-hand column, he writes to Timothy, who is to appoint elders in Ephesus, and he gives him this list that is given in the left column. Then he writes to Titus, and he gives Titus instruction on appointing elders in the church in Crete. And the list is different than the one on the left. Are we to assume that Paul can just change the qualifications of elders at a whim? Because you see, Timothy didn't have the correspondence that Paul gave to Titus. And Titus didn't have the correspondence Paul gave to Timothy. And the lists are different. And so you aren't to understand this is a checklist that you go down. It is to be understood this is a pencil drawing, a portrait of the kind of man you're looking for. I also know it's not a checklist because of some of the things that are missing from the list. Every one of us here would agree that an elder, a shepherd, an overseer, a bishop, a pastor, whatever you want to call that person, must be a man of prayer. And prayer isn't in either list. So I know this isn't a checklist, because the lists are different and because of what's missing from the lists. So we are to understand that Paul is giving us a broad outline of the kind of men we're looking for to be appointed as shepherds in this place. 1 week from today, we're going to have that privilege, responsibility. And so as we go through this list, I want you to think of who comes to mind out of this family that ought to serve as a shepherd in this place. If you count them, there are 21 different qualities given in these two lists together. For time's sake, we're not going to go down through them. That's why I put them on the announcement sheet so you can take it with you. And you can sit down over it and meditate over it and look at it and look at the comments and decipher as you have time this week to do so. But I think from the list, there are 4 or 5 broad categories that you can see from the list that I think we ought to look at. Number one, I think it's easy to decide from the list that what we're looking for is a man of experience. A man of experience. I gleaned that from 2 or 3 comments made. One, he must not be a recent convert. So we know that this is a man who is experienced in church life. He knows the value of the church. He knows how it operates and how it works and the dynamic of church life. He's experienced in church life. It also talks about a man who's old enough to have had children who are old enough to believe. That is also given in one of the lists. So we're looking for a man of experience, a man who's lived long enough and been down enough roads and been down through enough questions and struggles of his own that he can make some wise, discerning decisions about the spiritual welfare of people in this family. He's a man of experience. We're looking for men of experience. Number two, I think you can glean from the list. We're looking for men who have their life centered in the Word of God. It says in the list that a man must be able to teach, one of the lists. In the other list in Titus, he says able to encourage one with the Word of God and sound doctrine and refute those who would oppose sound doctrine. The man that we are looking for, the men we are looking for, are men who traffic in the Word of God, who know the Word of God well enough to encourage one who is discouraged with the Word of God, and to refute those who would try to teach that which is contrary to the will of God. We are looking for men of God. We're looking for men who understand the Word of God and can handle it aright. A man of experience, a man of the Word. Thirdly, there is a broad category that I think we can assume that we are looking for a man whose faith has been tested in the crucible of family living. Several things are said about a man's relationship to his family. We know, one, he's a husband. We know, number two, he's a father. And we know that this man has lived with a faith contagious enough that his children caught it. We see our elders when we come together in the assembly at their best. Absolutely their best. They've got on their best Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. And they got smiles on their faces, and they're shaking hands, and they're asking, how you doing? But his family sees him not only at his best, but at his worst. His kids see him when trouble comes, and they watch how he handles that trouble. His kids see him when crisis invades, and they can see how genuine and real his faith is. His kids see him on the mountaintop and in the valley of the shadow. And so does his mate. And if a man's faith isn't real enough and genuine enough that it's contagious to his kids, then we don't want that man shepherding this family here. We want a man whose life has been tested in the crucible of family living, and his kids have said, what I see in my dad is real and genuine, and I embrace it. A man whose faith has been tested in the crucible of family living. Number four, I think you can glean from the list It describes a man of great character. Character. Several of the words have to do with a man's character. For example, his character is one that is stable. You know what it is? He isn't high one day and low the next. He isn't hot-tempered and reactionary when something doesn't go his way. He's stable and in control. It says about him, in fact, he's self-controlled. It says he is not quick-tempered. He is a man who's in control of his passions. He isn't addicted to wine, it says. This man is a stable man who lives on a plane of stability, who doesn't blow hot one day and cold the next, but in fact, he lives his life stably following the will of God in his life. His passions are in control to the point they don't say about him, that guy's a hothead. This man is a man of stability who has his passions in control, and he's a man of integrity. It says about him, he's respectable, above reproach. His reputation with outsiders is good, as well as his reputation with insiders. When you speak this man's name to those outside the fellowship, the first response, if they know him, is, man, that is a good guy. That is really a fine man. So we're looking for a man who has a man of integrity, a man of character. A man who lives on a high plane of spirituality, a man who knows where he's going and wants to help you get there. He's a man of character. And finally, I think that you can detect from the list that the man we're looking for is a people person. He loves people. It says, for example, about him that he is hospitable. He loves strangers, and he has them in his home, and he loves people. He has them in his home. He spends time with people. He is a man who is available and approachable because his life is geared in people. The metaphor used in Scripture so much of the time is a metaphor shepherd. He's the one who shepherds a flock of people. Folks, we are not to find people that we think might make good shepherds someday. We are to find people who are already shepherding people in their life right now. They are tied in to loving people and leading people right now. A man of experience. A man of the Word. A man whose faith is tested in the crucible of family living. A man of high character. And a man who loves people. A man whose life is tied into the welfare of people's spiritual souls. I want to ask you to do two things. One, I want to ask you to pray. James makes this promise in James 1 and verse 5. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to those in need, and he will give it to him. I want to ask you to pray for God's wisdom as you sit down with what God says the kind of person we're looking for ought to be. I want you to sit down and ask God to help you and have wisdom. You might write down next week the names of the men you believe ought to be shepherds in this family. So I ask you to pray. Folks, this is serious business. There isn't anything more serious in the world than the selection of spiritual leadership. We're not looking for men so much by what he does as by what he is. And so it's important that you pray and ask God's wisdom to lead you in the kind of men you put forth next week. Second, I want to ask you to participate. Participate. If you're a member of this family, I want to ask you to participate next week. I want you to have spent enough time in prayer and contemplation over the men you think ought to serve as shepherds. And next week, whenever the administrative committee hands out the nomination forms, I want you, if you're a member of this family, to participate and say, these are some of the men I think ought to serve as shepherds. Because you see, we want these people selected from the church. And if you don't participate, it doesn't give full representation of the body of Christ. So, pray, participate.
We are looking for men to shepherd the flock of God here to add to those who are already serving. And all of them will be put before us at a later time for us to affirm in their walk with God. Pray or participate. Let's pray together. Father, we do indeed beseech you for your wisdom, that you might guide us in the kind of man that ought to serve in this family at this time. Father, grant us wisdom that we look for spiritual godly men, men whose character and reputation is impeccable, men who walk with you closely, who desire nothing more in the world than to go to heaven and to take others with them. Father, give us wisdom as we select the men from among ourselves to lead us. And then we pray that you'll help us wholeheartedly to follow them. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Earlier in the service, Larry Klutz read the passage from John chapter 10, the Good Shepherd. He says, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. Peter tells the elders, as a fellow elder, to shepherd the flock of God under their care. And he makes this promise, and when the chief shepherd appears, he'll give you the crown of glory. Folks, that chief shepherd desires nothing more than to shepherd your life, for you to submit yourself to his leadership as a member of his flock, to say to him, I want you to be the shepherd as I go through life. He has come and said, you come to me by faith, and you'll be a part of my flock. This morning, would you submit to his leadership? Would you say, I'll follow you? I'll go with you? Would you come to him right now while we stand and sing?
When you walk with the Lord in the light of his word.